Radio. My name is Erin Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
And you'll hear it several times today, but you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
U.S.
That's Bill's job. Sorry. I just did Bill's job.
That's
it's
right.
Going to be one of those days.
It is.
So, kind of a new little snippet I thought I'd add just for your amusement. So I had a relative who died, and we were kind of going through things at her house, and in the kitchen they had the White House cookbook. And it's like, really? The White House cookbook? I didn't know they had a cookbook. So then we flipped it open, and this particular version was from 1916, but it was originally copyrighted in 1887.
I thought it was 1861.
No.
No?
I'm looking right at it, 1887. So, to the wives of our presidents, those noble women who have graced the White House and whose names and memories are dear to all Americans, this volume is affectionately dedicated by the author. The funny part about the White House cookbook is that it only has some stuff to do with cooking.
Yeah.
Because we were thinking it's recipes, right? So I come home and I go, hey, Bill, look what I brought. You know, a little piece of history, you know. So we start looking at it. Well, it has, like, remedies. It has remedies that were a thing back at that time. And so I thought, you know, this would be a kind of a fun thing to share, because every now and then you think, well, holistic medicine really is off the rails. At this particular time, holistic medicine was a little bit off the rails.
Just a little bit.
Because we stumbled across relief from asthma, which is something that I have. So I was like, well, huh, how did they think you cured asthma at the turn of the century? Sufferers from asthma should get a muskrat skin and wear it over their lungs with the fur side next to the body. It will bring certain relief.
That's important to have the fur side down.
Kind of the fur side of your muskrat skin down. So, you know, if you know anybody who's struggling with asthma.
Yeah, go find a muskrat skin.
I'll let you know if I find a muskrat skin, and then I'll have to let you know if it works. But anyway, I just thought it was pretty funny. Somehow that made it into the White House cookbook. So they also had, like, recipes for state dinners and all sorts of stuff. It was pretty neat. I should probably scan some of the pages and post them. But kind of made me laugh. So, yeah, if you're sitting on a muskrat skin or your relative dies and you stumble across one, they could have had asthma.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's
mystery.
What it was for. That's
mystery
why they
solved.
Had it. Something to wear on your head.
Oh, my God. So, I've kind of an awkward segue, but our first hour here is with Victor Gomez, who's the executive director of Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse. Who wouldn't be against lawsuit abuse? Sad, you have to have a whole organization for it. And we all know there is tons of lawsuit abuse. So he is a Northern California native with a wealth of experience in local, state, and federal policies, both in the Monterey Bay Area, which, okay, I got to clear this up. That isn't Northern California, but okay. And the greater Silicon Valley and the San Francisco Bay Area, still not Northern California. There's 3 hours of the state left over. So, Victor, you might want to change that a little bit, or we'll have to continue to highlight that. Born and raised in Hollister, California, that's the middle, he is the former mayor of his hometown and recently completed his second term as a city council member. And as someone on the Planning Commission, I feel your pain. I blundered into that myself. As the son of a mayor and a sheriff, Victor has always held a passion for politics, community, and public service. And after immigrating to Hollister from Guadalajara, Jalisco, Mexico, his parents and older siblings lived in farm worker housing in San Benito County. After years of hard work, they were able to purchase a home in a low-income development in West Hollister, where Victor was raised. He attended local elementary schools and San Benito High School. Then he got his degree in aviation and became a private pilot. Now that's handy. You can actually see Northern California, Victor. Just you scurry on up here and we've got a spare room. Victor and his wife purchased a franchise restaurant where they owned and operated it for nearly 10 years. Didn't say what kind of restaurant though, Victor. We have questions. What kind of restaurant? What was it?
I used to own pizza franchises.
Ah, I love pizza. That's awesome, too. You could bring that in the plane. In 2008, in the midst of running a business, Gomez ran for and won a seat on the Hollister City Council, and at the age of 31, he became one of the youngest mayors to serve the city of Hollister. Since then, he served 8 years on the San Benito Transportation Authority, Hollister Airport Land Use Commission, Gang Prevention Policy Board, but that was illuminating, the Association of Monterey Bay Area Governments, Hollister Redevelopment Agency, and also the president of the League of California Cities, Monterey Bay Chapter, advocating for sound policies for municipal government at the state level. And I will let people go from there on that. But you've done a whole lot of different things. All of them, I mean, not all of them. The pizza thing obviously was a departure, but policy related, right? So why the focus on policy and now into the lawsuit abuse? What was the kicker there?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. Really,
well, of
really
course.
Nice to be with you this afternoon. Honestly, what drove me there was my experience in business.
Yeah.
And coming to an early realization, I mean, I became a franchisee at 25 years old, and immediately I felt I almost felt like this hatred coming from Sacramento. You know, if you own a small business, and, you know, some people don't consider franchise a small business. I do. I'm a local person and had my franchises, and even though I had to pay a franchise fee, still I was a local guy owning a local pizza shop. And I just felt this constant attack coming from Sacramento. And, after many years of owning and operating the franchise, I felt this lack of attention in addressing the need for advocacy for small business in California. Large corporations, they're going to have their ability, they're going to have their resources, right, to hire their attorneys and do what they need to do. But as an independent and even as a small franchise owner, you don't have those abilities. You don't have that ability to hire a high-powered attorney to go lobby for you in Sacramento. And so really our goal and what drew me to work with California CALA, the Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse, was really the advocacy. I saw these small business owners from all over the state, from Redding down to Sacramento and all the way down to San Diego, just continuing to be hit with these frivolous lawsuits, especially around these ADA lawsuits. So really it's just a passion, right? A passion that I have. And, I don't have a big army. It's just myself and another part-time employee that do this work, but it's good work. And look, if we don't want our businesses to continue to flee the state of California, we really need folks stepping up and advocating. And I'm happy to be doing it for these small business owners, at least on this topic.
I think anybody in and small business, some of the businesses, you're not just talking about one or two people, anything. What do you consider small business?
Because, generally for me, I see small business as 50 employees or less.
Yep. Okay.
That's really, I think, the core of small business. And many of them actually are much, much less than that. More like, 10, sometimes less employees.
Right. Yeah. And they, and a lot of things are just, crazy and onerous. And sometimes the regulatory things kind of compete with one another, so it's not even clear how you get out from under it.
It's nonstop. And so, this work that we're doing here to try to advocate for small business in California, it's an uphill battle. We are facing a political group, a political action committee, and a lobbying group that is relentless, right? The trial attorneys and trial bar have a ton of money. They have a lot of money to combat what we're trying to do. I mean, just over the last 2 years, we see these, right? We see these advertisements on TV. We see these billboards everywhere, right? That saying, hey, you've been in an accident, call us. They're spending, over the last 2 years, they've spent over $400 million on advertising just in California, over 4 million ads over the last 2 years. And so they know, hey, look, we have an opportunity here to keep slapping small business around, and if they go out of business, we don't care. Somebody else will pop up, and we'll put them out of business too, right? That's really what they like to do. Not only that, they control the politicians, right? I mean, campaign contributions are insane. I mean, over $25 million in contributions over the last 6 years to Sacramento politicians, including the governor, including Attorney General Bonta, who's supposed to be protecting us, but takes money from the trial bar so they can continue to hurt us. and then plenty of state legislators and, you know, senators and assembly members who are taking these dollars. And that's usually who we see the resistance from, right? Oddly enough, we see it from, these folks that are taking these major contributions. Apparently they say that it doesn't influence their decision making. We don't believe that one bit. They continue to take money, and they continue to side with the trial attorneys, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's you know, what I see is, you know, a lot of these small businesses, they'll get hit with these, you know, maybe not necessarily frivolous lawsuits, but kind of silly lawsuits, and they never go to trial. They settle out of court, and I think that's a big part of the problem is all you have to do is file a lawsuit, and you'll get something out of it. I think that's the part that we really need to change is stop making it so lucrative to settle out of court. If you file a lawsuit and you lose, that should cost you. And you know, small business, you're right, that puts them out of business when they have to defend themselves. And even if they settle out of court, their insurance costs go up. I mean, it's just kind of a vicious circle. I mean, is that what you see?
It is, absolutely. I mean, look, I have family members that are that deeply benefit from the Americans with Disabilities Act. We are fully supportive of ADA law. We think it's important for everybody to have access to these establishments. And candidly, so do the business owners, right? When you're a business owner, you don't want to turn somebody away or you don't want to stop somebody from entering your establishment because the ramp in front of your establishment may be the wrong incline. Maybe somebody stole the ADA parking plaque. Excuse me, out of the front of the parking space. No, we want to make it as easy as possible. Everybody's money's green. Look, at the end of the day, that's what we want as business owners. We're there to generate a profit, and in many cases, especially in small businesses, my wife and I were operators, owner-operators, and at one point when my daughter turned 16, she was working in our store. Right. In a lot of these cases, it's family businesses. So we want to make sure that we're thriving, that we're successful, and that we're turning a profit. But you're absolutely right. What ends up happening here is somebody will file one of these ADA lawsuits, and we call them frivolous, not because the intent is wrong. It's their intent specifically to shake the company or the business down for money without correcting the problem. Right. So if you settle out of court and or even if you don't settle, actually, if you don't settle out of court and you try to challenge them, which will cost you tens of thousands, not hundreds of thousands of dollars, it never fixes the issue. A perfect example is a toilet paper holder or dispenser in a restroom. If it's an inch too high or too low, you could get sued for that. Right?
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
kidding.
We want to make sure that it's fixed, right? I mean, if it's really the intent of the trial attorney or the attorney who's filing the lawsuit, if it's really their intent to fix the issue, then let's fix the issue, right? Currently, we have this bill, SB 84, that's making its way through.
Oops. No, he's absolutely right, though. I mean, there's so many of these laws where people will come in, and we've seen it with this ADA laws. People will come in, they'll look around, they won't say a word to you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then they'll leave, and the next thing you know, you get a letter from an attorney that says, hey, one of our clients or one of our folks was unable to access XYZ, and we're going to file a lawsuit. And still not there.
He was there and then got...
Yeah. But rather than send a letter and say, hey, there's a problem and give the business an opportunity to remedy the situation. They just go for the lawsuit because they can get money. And he's right. They don't care if you fix it. They just want the money. And I don't know. That just makes it really hard for small business to survive when you're constantly looking over your shoulder. And yeah, you have to do things right. You have to conduct business according to the law. But with so many laws being passed, it's almost impossible to stay on top of everything. And it's not just ADA. It's environmental. It's safety. It's all of these things that small business has to deal with. And if one little thing isn't right, here comes a lawsuit, or here comes the state with a book, and they write you up, and it's $10,000 because somebody threw a can of oil in your dumpster that was, you know, a few drops of oil was still in it. So hey, that's $10,000. Just write us a check. And things like that. I mean, you need to give people the opportunity to fix it before you go right to court with it. And I don't know, maybe that gets into tort reform. I don't know what the answer is there, but so many small businesses aren't given the opportunity.
Yeah, and this bill, as I was sharing with you, I mean, this bill that's running through the state legislature right now would allow 120 days before a lawsuit is filed. So if I do have something that needs to be corrected, again, if I need to repaint that parking stall blue because it faded, if I got to fix that incline on that ramp because for some reason it's not the right incline, it fixes the problem. So who benefits from that? The person that's disabled,
right?
They benefit from it. The trial attorneys don't benefit from it because they can't see you unless you don't fix it within 120 days, right? So the intent of these laws and this, you know, tort reform here that we're focused on, we think is a win-win for everybody, again, except for the trial attorneys and the trial bar, and they're not happy about it.
No, they don't really care. You're right. They don't care if you fix the problem. They just want their money. And the state's as guilty as anybody. I mean, they have so many regulations that are just ridiculous and fees. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to register this and you have to license that. Heck, we have a guy that comes in once a year and inspects our air compressor that hasn't changed for 20 years. But he has to put his new seal of approval on it. And that's, you know, $150, and they want the check right then. And he comes in, he looks at it.
You have to pay him when they.
Oh yeah, they want their money right now. Yeah, so you go ahead and give them a credit card or a check. It's usually a check.
Wow.
And
it's like the olden days when you got a speeding ticket, you just gave the cop the $20 or whatever.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, if you're out of compliance, give the business an opportunity, because I mean a lot of things are just very easily overlooked, and give them a chance to fix it and move on. But gosh, all these rules and regulations, I mean, it's no wonder people are moving out of California.
Yeah, well, it's no wonder they don't want to run a business. Victor, we have to take a really quick break, and then hopefully we have solved all of our little communication issues. Going to hear about my attorney Bernie for you during the break, because I looked for some good law songs. It was kind of a fun little search last night. So our guest is Victor Gomez. He is with California's Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse California, and we'll be right back. You can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
I'm impressed with my attorney Bernie. I'm impressed with his influential friends. He's got very big connections, so I follow his directions. Bernie knows his way around, so I always do what Bernie recommends. I am blessed with my attorney Bernie. I'm impressed with the way he runs the store. He's got Dodger season boxes and an office full of foxes. It's amazing all the different things your average guy might need a lawyer for. Bernie tells me what to do. Bernie lays it on the line. Bernie says we sue, we sue. Bernie says we sign, we sign.
When you serve me and I'll serve you, swing.
case that was an obscure reference, that was George Harrison with the Sue Me, Sue You Blues. So, Victor, it's kind of nice you're going to do something with this issue. You have a long list on here, and I did add them from your webpage. I stole it. So you have a lot of issues: jury service, access to health care, class action abuse, all those different things. And the abuse of Prop 65 lawsuits. Is that the one? I didn't actually read the detail. Is that the one where they say everything has cancer or causes cancer?
Pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
You see the list is, over 1,000 chemicals now.
Yeah, I couldn't get a Franklin Covey. I needed a thing for my planner, but it was prohibited to come into the state of California because it may cause cancer. And I was like, really? It's a thing you put business cards in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you go now to the grocery store, any retail store, and everything has a cancer label on it. It's to the point, really, where folks just don't pay attention. And we've asked that. You know, we've actually done these, kind of the store interviews, right, with folks that are patronizing a certain store and say, hey, do you realize, what do you have in your bag, and what do you realize half of this stuff can cause cancer? They're like, no, we're just not. Everything has the label now that it's really, for many folks, just kind of meaningless, right? And very unfortunate. Really, all it is just a hotbed for lawsuits. That as well.
The one you need to add is contains tree nuts. I have a very severe peanut allergy, but everything, and the gummy bears, could have a peanut allergy. You're like, really? Like, if you really didn't eat anything that could have potentially, been involved with a tree nut, the number of things in the grocery store are, you can count them on one hand. And I'm sure that's for lawsuits.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, in this case here, a perfect example on Prop 65 is, in most cases, a $2,500 fine per day. For any manufactured product that you fail to put a label on, settlements have ranged anywhere from $60,000 to $100,000 per item. And a lot of these are small manufacturers, right? They're California-based manufacturers that are making a small toy or, whatever they may be making. These are not, millionaire, billionaire companies. Again, small mom-and-pop type, manufacturers. And California just creates that climate for it, And not only that, but the attorneys are the ones making the money. Just in 2024, there was over $20 million in settlements that were paid out in 2024 because of Prop 65 lawsuits. Out of that, nearly $20 million, $17 million of that went to attorney fees.
Yeah.
$3 million actually went to the person who did it, right, who claimed the lawsuit, right? So, when you have that much money, 85% going to the trial attorneys instead of, the person who supposedly suffered the issue, who's really making the money here.
Yeah, you always hear about these huge settlements that people get, but you never hear about how much they actually pocket. I mean, you're right. Most of it goes to attorneys.
Well, how many times have you sent in the postcard, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're class action. You're in this class action, and you get a check in the mail for 45 cents. Wow, really? That must have been a terrific
you're the big winner. Yeah. I won my lawsuit.
Yeah.
So we showed them.
You can tell who made the money there. it's unbelievable, but these notices just continue to, and it's really California that really is creating this sort of hotbed for it. I mean, the ADA law specifically, we're one out of 50 states, yet over 30% of the ADA lawsuits are filed in California.
Oh, wow.
Right. And so it's the opportunity to create money because of the UNRRA Act here in California that created sort of the fine amount. And that is not found in other states outside of maybe New York, right? Another problem state, unfortunately. But, they created this climate, right, that you could sue anybody really for anything these days. But we're not giving up. Again, we're just going to continue to fight on the ADA front, as we were talking about. over 30% of the nation's lawsuits in ADA are in California. This really does need to change. And as we discussed, you know, we don't see any problem with just saying, hey, give us a warning letter. Give us 120 days to fix that issue. Same thing can be applied to even Prop 65, right, where you just say, hey, yeah, you made a mistake. There's over, you know, as a small business owner, there's, you know, 3,000 laws introduced every year, right, into the state assembly. As a small business owner, how many of us small business owners have time to sit down on January 1st and say, oh, my gosh, I wonder how many bills the governor signed last year? And, yes, let me go through those 1,000 to 3,000 bills. I have plenty of time.
Yeah, no, right. And how many of them apply to me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's kind of like the tax code. You know, that is a ever-shifting set of goalposts there. But at least you can, if you want to, you know, hire an accountant, go to H&R Block. I mean, there are people who can navigate that for you. What would you advise a small business who just would kind of like to run their business and not maybe become a lawyer on the side?
Yeah. Well, specifically, again, you highlighted a few of the issues that small business owners face with Prop 65, specifically ADA lawsuit abuse. You know, another issue that many Californians still continue to deal with is the Sue Your Boss Law. They call it the PAGA Law, the Private Attorney General Act. There were some reforms on that, but unfortunately, PAGA lawsuits, these Private Attorney General Act lawsuits, still continue to hit.
What do you get to sue your boss for?
These are for small, you know, small technical infringements, like, you know, you get your electronic pay stub and your name is spelled incorrectly.
You would sue your boss over that?
You can. Yeah, and if for some reason they didn't list how many hours you have available for vacation time that's built up, you could get sued for that as well, right? Small things like, hey, you know, as a franchisee in the pizza industry, I required my employees as soon as they got in to put an apron on, put their gloves on, and, you know, clean up, be prepared to enter your shift. Well, guess what? If you're not paying them for that half a minute that it took for them to do that, you could get sued under the Private Attorney General. Like, you could hire your own private attorney to act as the Attorney General and to sue you. Right, and that happens quite a bit, and it still continues to happen.
I think I know the answer, but then if you fire them, because obviously they probably have more problems than this, they come after you for that too, right?
Yeah. Okay. It's kind of a never-ending cycle. So I would just encourage your viewers to visit us at CaliforniaCALA.org, CaliforniaCALA.org, and learn more about our organization. You can reach out to us there. So if you are encountering, you know, we're not attorneys, we can certainly refer you over to somebody that could help. But if you happen to just have general questions on what you could do as an individual, you know, we do have a program where we'll create what you need to reach out to your local mayor, your city council members, your state representatives, your state assembly member or senator. Let them know how these laws are impacting you and hopefully encourage them to reform some of these laws. You know, tort reform is not an easy issue. A lot of people don't necessarily understand it until they're hit with a lawsuit. Right, but we want to help. We want to be helpful. So I would definitely encourage your viewers again to visit CaliforniaCALA.org and learn more about our work, what we do, and again, we're happy to be a resource as well.
Yeah, because so on our list of potential questions that we wanted to make sure and cover. So did we already hit the pending legislation that might help or hurt?
Yeah, you know, I'd like to put a bow on that if I could and just say the SB 84, which is sponsored by Senator Roger Niello just outside of Sacramento. He did try to push something similar a few years ago, SB 585, but because he is Republican, the first thing they do is say, hey, well, if it's a Republican, we want to make sure he fails at everything, right? And unfortunately, there isn't a lot of bipartisanship in Sacramento. But what happened different this time is we were able to get Senator Ashby and Senator Ana Caballero, who are very moderate Democrats in Sacramento, very pro-business Democrats, to come on board and help Senator Niello move this bill forward. So the bill will actually be heard this week. SB 84 will be heard in Senate Appropriations Committee. It would then go to a Senate floor vote. We were able to pass it 2 years ago out of the Senate, failed in the Assembly, unfortunately, because the chair of the committee was a trial attorney that became a legislator and really protected his friend's interests, right?
Yeah.
But different story. We have a new chair. We're hoping that that could be a little bit different in a Senate, in Assembly Judiciary Committee. So that bill is critical. Again, we're going to see some movement on it this week. Hopefully you'll hear some good news about it as well if we are able to advance it out of appropriations. But yeah, I just wanted to share that update, and then hopefully we'll get some relief. We can put it in front of the governor's desk in September and hopefully get his signature on that.
Nice. So if you could sit down, the next item here, what steps should legislators take to address the issue of lawsuit abuse? I would imagine that is a target-rich environment. But like, let's just say you got to, sit down with them and hand them a short list, because you can't reform the whole system in one bite. But like, here are the top priorities. Like, here are the things you should tackle. What would that be? Or what would those
be? Well, there's
a
number of issues. Definitely, we covered ADA and this new bill, SB 84. But I would certainly encourage them to consider, additional changes to the Private Attorney General Act. So that continues to be, a big issue. And these labor unions continue to add all these new labor laws, like the Private Attorney General Act, to create these opportunities to sue your boss, right? So that continues to be an issue. Really around Prop 65, we really do believe that there's an opportunity there to limit the amount of chemicals that are included in that list of, cancer or carcinogen type, chemicals. So we do believe that there's a way to streamline that, specifically on manufacturing, very similar to what we're asking for here. On ADA and this, reform bill on ADA, on ADA law and this curing period that we call, we could see that definitely happening under Prop 65, right? So if you are a small manufacturer that's, making, sales of, 1 to 3 million a year, which is, not huge for a manufacturer, really, if they do make a mistake like that around Prop 65, there's no reason why they shouldn't also be given a time to cure it, right, to fix the issue. Okay, you have 1,000 toys that are out there. Well, instead of recalling that and losing a ton of money, why don't you allow them to fix the issue, whether it's, you have 48 hours or, you have 15 days to add that label to the new products that are being manufactured. That would be very helpful. And one issue that we probably won't get too much into today, and that is that's really gambling with these lawsuits. So one thing that we're seeing right now that's kind of new to California is called third-party litigation funding. So there are these law firms that actually raise money. They don't have the ability to sue a company, so what they'll do is they'll raise their own money and tell their investors, hey guys, we have this really good idea on this class action lawsuit. We're going to get $500 million for this. If you invest $10 million into this lawsuit, we'll give you $20 million back in 2 years, right? So just put a little bit of money into our law firm. We will then file this $500 million lawsuit. We'll double your money. Right. Well, we don't think that's fair. So what we're asking for in third-party litigation is disclose it. Right. Who is gambling? Who is willing to gamble with your law firm? Right. Let us know who that is. Right now, they're not disclosing that. All of a sudden, they have all this money to file all these lawsuits, but they're not sharing who is funding these lawsuits. That's all we're asking for. We're not even asking for them to stop it, though we think they should.
Yeah.
But at least disclose who your funders are.
We have to take another quick break, but when we return, I'd like to have a couple of examples, because immediately I think of environmental type things that would qualify for. But I haven't heard of that idea, and I'd like to know who's doing that. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily who, like what form, but like what types of issues would fall into that category. So our guest is Victor Gomez. He is with the California Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse. And you can find all their information on our site. It is CaliforniaCALA.org, just in case you, I don't know, have a computer, but you don't want to look at our website. Why would you do that? Because the commercial-free archive will be up later today. What the heck?
Right.
You can listen to the whole thing again. You can have a good time later, too. We'll be right back.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law? Well, you see, I didn't really mean you any harm, but I simply couldn't make it on the farm. When the land won't give a lot, you gotta do with what you got, and all I got's the muscle in my arm.
Gambling in Havana, I took a little risk. Send lawyers, guns, and money. Dad, get me out of this. Ha!
Great combination. Lawyers, guns, and money. What could go wrong? I had a great time perusing songs about the law. Very enjoyable. All right, so Victor, who's getting, what are they amassing investors and then coming after us for so they can all divvy up the spoils?
Well, you know, recently, I'll use probably the most recent example of rolling the dice, right, with these lawsuits and throwing some money behind them. You know, recently, as you folks are aware, the Los Angeles area dealt with a number of fires. Even in Santa Cruz County, you know, a number of years ago, the CPU fire there burned down nearly 1,000 homes up in the mountains. Obviously, we know what happened in Paradise and many other communities statewide. But what was interesting recently with these LA fires, and maybe because it was more in a bigger city that it drew more, you know, more attention or certainly more political attention, was the rebuilding, right? So after you get, you know, fire destroyed the Palisades and Altadena and these areas, well, there's a lot of work that has to be done to reconstruct. And one of the biggest challenges, whether you're building a new subdivision or just a single family home on a couple of acres, is the review process. But when you're going through a major subdivision and a rebuilding of an entire city, it's the environmental issues that really slow down the process of just rebuilding your property. Whether you got to do soil testing or whatever it may be, it definitely drags the process, it drags on, right? The process just drags on. And so we hear, you know, the governor come out and say, hey, folks, I care about you so much that I'm going to waive CEQA reform, right? The California Environmental Quality Act. We're going to waive because we understand that's red tape and that's going to take you a year to go through. We're going to save you a year by waiving that requirement. Well, if he really did care, if he really did care about housing, building housing, or rebuilding homes that were burned down, you wouldn't even have CEQA, or you would at least have some kind of environmental reform on CEQA. But this is a perfect opportunity, and we've already seen it from these investors that are looking to, you know, put a little bit of money into a law firm. They're doing that, and now these environmental law firms are filing, you know, they're filing these lawsuits left and right, trying to slow down the process of people rebuilding and challenging it through CEQA law, through the California Environmental Quality Act. And so, you know, that's big money. There is a lot of money. Even before this, there was a lot of money in either slowing somebody down. And again, they're not looking to necessarily take you to court. As you folks said earlier, they're looking for you just to settle.
Sure.
We just want to be a pest so we can get a payout. So environmental litigation, huge food litigation, cereal plaintiffs continue to exploit the legal loopholes in food labeling, right, and safety claims. We talked about Prop 65 and 80 and ADA law, but PAGA and Prop 65 those have been funded by, again, these investors for a number of years, and it's only getting worse, unfortunately.
So what's the, what's the prognosis on this, honestly? Like, does this just go on, indefinitely? Because the state legislature, let's face it, we can all count the things they've fixed on one hand, so.
Yeah, what we're going to have to see from the state legislature, specifically on gambling on lawsuits, is going to have to be disclosure. So these investors are willing to put money in as long as you're willing to keep their name out of it, right? We'll give you $10 million. We'll give you $50 million. A lot of this money is actually coming from hedge funds, right? And they don't want folks to know that they're betting on these lawsuits, right? So going transparent and having a legislation that forces these law firms to disclose who their donors are, or who they're, in this case, who's willing to gamble for them, to give them some money to gamble. All we're saying is, hey, disclose, be transparent, right?
Sure.
Disclose who's giving you money, because we believe if you get to that point of disclosure, a lot of these folks are going to say, wait, I don't want people to know that I'm suing them. Right, I don't want to be listed as a hedge fund or as an individual or even as a company betting on your demise. Right, and so Senator Ana Caballero actually had introduced legislation in the past, but man, I'm telling you, the trial bar just spends so much money that it's just it's not really going anywhere. We're not going to give up, of course, but we're going to continue to push against these this gambling again on these lawsuits.
Yeah, there's really no way to know. Then they're not required to disclose. There's no way you can. Yeah, I don't know, freedom of information, or there's no way to know who backs them?
No way to know, because they are private firms, right? So, yeah, but again, we think going public really does sort of put the magnifying glass on some of these donors who, again, are, we live in a capitalistic environment. I'm a small business owner. I believe in our system. But when you get to that point where you're really sinking businesses.
Yeah.
So you can make some money. That's a problem.
Yeah, that's a huge problem, because that's not. I mean, most people, we've made reforms in the lawsuit industry, along the way, because now if you sue your neighbor over nothing, bottom line is you wind up having to pay most of the time. You've got to pick up the legal fees and stuff, which is the issue with a lot of the environmental lawsuits. They get paid whether they win or lose. So it's kind of incentivized more suits and bad ones. You don't even have to have a legitimate reason. This is kind of along that same vein. You know, if you can get people to bankroll you and then come at them with the behemoth, then you can crush them.
Mm-hmm.
Does this?
And many folks would say, "Well, why should I care? Right? I don't own the business that's getting sued, and I could care less what trial attorneys are doing." But what's kind of interesting is we all Californians, all of us, every single Californian pays for this. So
yeah, right.
If you're tying up the court system, on average in California, every Californian. The 38 plus million, I know a couple of million have already escaped the California environment, but who is left here in California is still paying over $2,300 a year in what we call a tort tax. So that is essentially tying up the court system with these lawsuits, that again, they're being funded by these third party, litigants or financiers. And each of us, we end up paying for it. It's not them. They don't need to pay for their time in court. We do, right? As California taxpayers, right? And so each of us individually pay $2,300 plus a year in California so that they could run these lawsuits through the judicial system here in California. So it impacts you whether you think it does or not. At the end of the day, it really does have an impact. It costs California nearly a million jobs a year, almost Wow. 1 million jobs are lost every year because of excessive tort costs.
Well, people should care about that. I mean, that might ring a couple bells. The very last thing we had on this list that we kind of promised would be up for discussion today is how can small business owners or concerned citizens, but I would say a lot of small business owners, and many of them may have been retired or something like that, but they might want to get involved in this. How do they do that?
Yeah, well, number one, try not to, it's so, you know, again, spending 17 years in the franchise industry, it's easy. I was an owner operator. You know, I had an apron on. You caught me making your pizza. I was not a guy that would just sit in the back and do nothing. In California, it's so expensive to run a business. You have to be hands-on in California to turn a profit. And so because we are so busy, we are doing so many things, it's easy to just get caught up on the day-to-day operations. But one thing that's very, very important is for you to share your story. Right. Share your story with, again, your local. If you're getting hit with an ADA lawsuit, if you're being hit with a PAGA lawsuit, Prop 65, you're a manufacturer, you may have to fire people or let people go because you got to pay for that lawsuit. You should share that story with your mayor, with your county supervisor, and eventually with the state legislature, because they should care. And I think in many cases, when they know you are in their district and they hear your story, it does make a difference, because you know that person. You may have grown up with that, with the mayor, with the city council member, with the county supervisor, with the state legislator. They may know you personally. If you have those relationships, or even if you don't, send a letter to the editor. Send an opinion piece. We're happy to even help with that, right, to help frame those narratives appropriately, so you share that story. Because again, when I go up to Sacramento and I bring that small business owner that's been hit with an ADA lawsuit or PAGA or whatever it may be, when they hear it, when I meet with that senator and that assembly member and I say, hey, assembly member, blah, 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 this operator has a taco shop in your district, let them, you know, hear them out and what they just went through. Man, I'll tell you, that story goes a long way, and it's very, very effective way to really, you know, again, communicate with these decision makers so they know what the right thing to do really is.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And a lot of times people don't want to because they're afraid it'll almost red flag them. You know, it's like, oh, I had somebody come and file an ADA lawsuit at my place, and the last thing you want to do is highlight that.
Yeah, draw more attention. Yeah, no doubt about it. And we're here to help navigate that. So again, if they, you know, your listeners, you know, they could reach out to CaliforniaKayla.org. They could, contact us through the website, and we're happy to sort of help you navigate through that. And again, even if you want to be kept a bit discreet, we have ways of doing that and still being able to share your story as well.
Okay. Well, that's good. I don't think, just out of curiosity, of the other states, is this is in all 50 states or a bunch of, Kayla, is this an organization all over the place?
No, you know, and there are a couple others that have started. We have some in, you know, Florida and Texas, Illinois, you know, New York. There are a couple of states where, you know, small business owners like myself finally came together and said, hey, we gotta do something here. And so that has happened. It's very organic, right? So it's not like there's a ton of money going to these states to help fund these programs and this work. But yeah, there are a number of states that that are dealing with it. But still, again, California just continues to hover. You know, the American Tort Reform Association does this annual report called the Judicial Hellholes Report, and it's the worst states, right? The top, you know, usually 7-8 states in the nation that face these lawsuits left and right. Well, no surprise. California just continues to rank up at the top. If we're not number one, we're in the top three, right?
And we're so, number one.
Unfortunately,
we're number one.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't see this work ending anytime soon.
Boo. You know?
But we're going to keep fighting, I guess.
That's what I figured. I didn't want to assume. Well, Victor Gomez, we have to run away. Because the news is going to be on to tell us what other things happened while we were busy chatting with you. It has been lovely. So let's see. You can find them at CaliforniaCALA.org. And we appreciate you coming on with us. And please keep us posted. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you both. Thank you so much.
We'll be back next hour with Phil Kirpin. This is We the People. We the People Radio.
On this side of the law. On that side of the law. Who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law? Well, you see, I didn't really mean you any harm, but I simply couldn't make it on the farm. When the land won't give a lot, you gotta do with what you got, and all I got's the muscle in my arms.